You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Very serious.
Is the Mandatory Samson Podcast coming to you from Stand Up New York Labs in New York City. As always, my name is Chris Flannery, and I'm joined by one of my oldest and closest friends in the world, Joseph Noe.
Hi, guys.
And one of my newest and closest friends, Andrew Genelosi. We're also being produced by our man Evan over there. Thank you for being here, buddy. We appreciate it. Welcome to the program. I showed up at the studio today and I told the guys I am extremely excited about what we have on tap today.
Nice.
We have a bunch of great topics that we're going to get to, every one of them gold, one better than the other. We are going to get into the Levi Pettit apology video, the OSU SEA whatever, bus chanter. He apologized and it's a terrific video. We're going to get into that later in the program. We're also going to get into the trial of those two girls in Wisconsin that tried to kill their friend because of Slender Man. This is something Andy really wanted to
get
into.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Which I had no idea about, like, Slender Man or anything, because that's like a newer urban legend.
That's been
around
a couple of years now, though.
Yeah, but not when we were young.
No, it's like a brand new internet meme type
thing.
Oh my God.
The part of that issue is that they're discussing whether they're going to try those kids as adults, and they're like 12 and 13 years old. So.
I say fry them.
We will get into that later in the program. We're also going to touch on a little bit of an update, the death penalty in Oklahoma and Utah. We have an update on that situation. We are also I'm so excited that the campaign season has already begun for the 2016 presidential election. We're going to go after our man Ted Cruz,
Ted,
who is the first Republican to announce his candidacy. He said some crazy shit this week and we're going to discuss that. Yeah, I know, it's hard to believe.
It's too soon.
Well, no, it's not too soon, and we're gonna. It's great because he's out there twisting in the wind. There's nobody else out there, so let's focus in on Ted Cruz. But first, a really interesting topic that I found this week that I think is what
I'm all out of sorts.
Oh, Andy's just adjusting all his shit. Yeah. Okay. Also, Polar Seltzer, Orange Vanilla, the tried and true that I always go to. I love it. Thank you very much, and we'd appreciate your support sometime in the future. All right. First, I want to get into Israel spied on the United States and Iran's nuclear talks.
Oh.
Which seems like, seems like kind of a big deal. Shortly after the talks began last year, the U.S. Realized that Israel was spying on them. And it didn't really bother the United States, apparently, because they expect that Israel would have been spying on them, which is interesting. We can get into that in a minute. And it was this whole spying thing was part of Netanyahu's plan to derail the nuclear talks. He was spying on the talks and then using the information he got from those talks to lobby the Republicans in Congress to make the speech and then kind of try to derail the agreement, which is
the old reach around.
Yeah, he was pulling the old foreign policy reach around. That's what we call it. By the way, Joey, I wanted to mention we're going to try to be more diligent about getting quotes from the show to like title the episodes.
Yes.
So
we choose you.
Yeah, you just try to write stuff down. Oh my God, you know what I just realized? The internet's down today because of Time Warner Cable being absolutely atrocious.
Yeah, they're bad.
It's so bad. It's just like drizzling in New York, so the internet's down. So I can't even get my notes on here. I'm going to have to go on my phone.
Oh. Yeah.
God damn it.
I'm doing the old hotspot thing.
I connect to your hotspot?
Yeah, I guess.
You have to let me, otherwise I'm not going to be able to do anything.
I don't know what my password is for it.
Hold on. You're going to have to write it down because I got to get it. Sorry, everybody listening. This is extremely embarrassing. I didn't even
talk about something.
Yeah, Joey, okay. get it to some. Well, actually, you know what? Yeah, I forgot because we did a little rundown before the show.
Yeah, we did.
We wanted to get into one thing kind of quickly before we got into the rest of the topics. What is that thing that we talked about,
Joey? The one thing was about the German gentleman who crashed the German flight recently, 9525. Co-pilot Andres Lubitz, I guess is how you pronounce the name. I can't
probably
speak German.
But go ahead.
So apparently during the flight, he found himself alone in the cockpit after the pilot left, Apparently, the pilot went to go take a piss, and he decided to crash the airplane into the French Alps.
Yeah. What do you? This is the thing. Like, I Joey brought it, and I was like, yeah, we can get into that. I don't want to get too far into it because it's a lot of speculation right now, and obviously, more stuff's going to come out over the week, so we'll probably get into it on the next episode. But what do you? I mean, if you had to, what do you think about this whole situation? You think, obviously, they're saying it was deliberate.
I think it was a little bit too. I feel bad for the pilot that took a piss because that was must have been the worst piss of his life to come back, find out the door's locked, and you can't do your job.
Yeah, and they're saying, like, everybody thinks it was deliberate anyway, but I guess cockpit doors have three settings, which is unlocked, normal, and then locked.
Okay.
And normal, apparently, is when it is locked, but there's a keypad on the door. So the pilot who knows it can get into the cockpit still.
Oh.
And you see, like, I guess they do the locked thing for, like, terrorism situations or whatever. So if even if they have a hostage who knows the code, they can't make him give it up because the door would still be locked.
Right.
That's why I assume they have it. Anyway, they're saying, you know, it would obviously just be on normal, but the guy obviously deliberately switched it over to locked so the pilot couldn't get in and he could crash the plane, which is scary, but
it's going to be interesting to see what, because obviously people guess terrorism, but it could just be this guy's a nut. Who the hell knows?
Yeah, he was only 28, which was weird.
Right.
He was a young guy who did it. And yeah, they said they really don't know anything about it. It obviously just happened on Tuesday.
And to the other thing that makes a team more deliberate is the fact that this gentleman had 630 hours of practice, meaning he knew what he was doing.
Oh, they said
in that cockpit.
Yeah, he could have flown that plane by himself.
So, absolutely. Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he
was
that level of experience and skill. So
right. So it seems obviously like probably not an accident.
He wasn't on any like watch list, any terrorism watch list. Wasn't. They said they didn't like immediately like know his religion either. So
right.
Like obviously, you know, people who knew him, other pilots, if religions never come up in conversation, then you don't assume he's a fanatic.
Right, it's probably not a thing.
Kind.
Right, well, if you
don't
see him like bowing down in the aisle
exactly,
every 6 hours or whatever,
Well,
yeah.
Or doing the rosary. I'm not speculating that it has anything to do with being Muslim. That's fine. All right, well, so anyways, that's something we're going to keep our eye on. Obviously, more of that is going to come out in the next couple of weeks. Going back to this Israel thing, here's a quote from a senior U.S. official about it. Two quotes, actually. He goes, "It is one thing for the U.S. and Israel to spy on each other." Okay. That's what I wrote in my notes. I wrote, what? Question mark? Like, why? Because me and Andy talked about this a little bit this week when we were here. Why is there an expectation, an understanding that we're going to spy on our ironclad ally and vice versa? Like, what? I don't understand what the relationship is then between the U.S. and Israel if this spying is just going to take place and everybody knows it, nobody cares about it.
It's an open relationship, I guess.
Yeah, it's
like,
very.
We're allowed to like fuck around and like it's just okay. We both get it.
Yeah, well, just don't get caught, I guess.
And Israel's jealous about what we're doing with Iran right now. But that,
I guess so. That's actually the perfect metaphor.
Yeah. It's very weird. And like I was reading that people are starting to question the relationship that the U.S. has with Israel, as we should.
Yeah.
I don't think at any point. I'm not advocating for us to not be allies with Israel or that Israel isn't important to our Middle East strategy. They are. The problem is when you get a guy like Netanyahu is in there for mostly political gain. He mm-hmm. wants to be in power and clearly is not going to trust anything that's going on with the Iran deal. That's dangerous. So it's not that Israel is not a good partner. It's that this guy might be a problem when it comes to negotiations and things like this.
Yeah,
he's going to do everything in his power to derail or to avert any change.
Right, and he's, in fact, using the secret talks, the spying on the secret talks to do that, which is, it's really it's a sign that government and democracy just isn't working. Like, he's going to try to go, like we said, reach around the president and go to the Republicans and try to derail this. It's really scary. What's interesting is that the U.S. helped Israel build a program to spy on Iran, which they are now using to spy on the deals because Iran is involved in the thing. Let me finish this quote. He goes, "It's one thing for us to spy on each other. It is another thing for Israel to steal U.S. secrets and play them back to U.S. legislators to undermine U.S. diplomacy. If you're wondering whether something serious has shifted here, the answer is yes. These things leave scars." So for all Netanyahu's bluster about that he wants to go after Iran and that he's definitely partnered with the U.S., he's hurting that. You know, that's hurting. Yeah. If you're worried that Iran's going to get a nuclear bomb and then try to destroy Israel, which I guess is like a semi-valid concern because that's something that they've said in Iran, but I think it's more political than what they're actually trying to do. Mm. This is hurting it just as much, and people should be very wary of Netanyahu having control over there.
Yeah, man.
Because the guy's obviously a bit of a loose cannon.
See, the one thing I don't understand about all this is if everyone knows that you're trying to have a deal and it's supposed to be a public deal, why is anyone playing Spygate?
Well, it's not supposed to be a public deal yet. It's closed door negotiations.
Okay, I got it.
And then the United, and that's the thing, people that are
that's the big kicker
here. Ardent supporters of Israel, fine. But be if you're in the United States, you have to be a more ardent supporter of the United States. If the United States is operating in a secret, you know, a closed door environment with Iran and they're trying to get this deal done, you have to support the United States before you start supporting Israel.
Yeah.
They're an ally. They're not us, you know? And that's a big thing. I've read some bits of the deal. Mm-hmm. We don't have to get into it right now, but it seems like it would probably be a decent deal. And the whole time Netanyahu has been saying, oh no, it's no good. Tom Cotton, that idiot, and the other ones that sent the letter to the Ayatollah saying they don't get America. Like they're not privy to it. Unless they're spying on it, and then they're twisting what is happening and trying to sway public opinion.
Oh, wouldn't that be interesting if they had the same access? Ooh.
Well, that's kind of the point. That's the thing. He used the information that he got through the spying to lobby the Republicans in Congress. This idiot Tom Cotton is probably, you know, involved in that. Yeah, he's getting the old HJ from Netanyahu. I just want to read now to Israel's defense, or whatever you want to call it. I got to stop saying that. Last episode was brutal. I said whatever you want to call it like 100 times.
Oh, it's your new, what was your old one?
Here's the thing.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Yeah, it is my new here's the thing. I'm going to try to stop saying it. The prime minister's office responded to this and he goes, these allegations are utterly false. The state of Israel does not conduct espionage against the United States or Israel's other allies. The false allegations are clearly intended to undermine the strong ties between the United States and Israel and the security intelligence relationship we share, except for the fact that the U.S. totally acknowledges that this happens all the time, and that's completely a lie. Like, clearly we're... And who's undermining it? Israel's undermining it by doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absurd. Meanwhile, the article was in the Wall Street Journal, which isn't exactly like a liberal rag, you know?
That's great.
All right, so anyway, so... I found that interesting and surprising that it's sort of a well-known thing that this happens. And I got a question that it shouldn't be happening, you know? Like,
also, the other thing that comes to my mind when I think about it, too, is if everybody knows this is happening and you happen to get a politician or someone in Israel who could easily give that information to another state, that could be a huge issue.
Yeah, yes. The thing is, Israel is not... It's in Israel's best interest always to have a good relationship with the United States, though, because without the United States, then they're just a sitting duck in the Middle East, you know?
Yeah.
But that being said, it's not really in the United States. It is to an extent because then at least we have a democratic partner in the Middle East. But as far as that benefiting the United States, it doesn't really benefit us because we're sending billions of dollars to them.
Right.
Israel doesn't get involved when we're trying to get ISIS out of Iraq. They're not involved in that. They're trying to derail peace in Iran. So how is it benefiting us? We're losing money and they're undermining our diplomacy and not helping us militarily. So
yeah, it doesn't seem like a good trade-off.
No, it's a bad relationship for them and for them to be doing, or a good relationship for them, you know, worse for us. But I don't know, if we pull out, that's going to be, they're going to have a lot of problems.
Absolutely,
We would gain a lot. So
we would gain a lot of problems, you're saying?
No, we would gain a lot of our money back and a lot of all those other things.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, because if Israel ever actually does have to go to war with somebody, we're in that war. There's no question about it. We're in that war. And that's the thing. That's what's frustrating. They're trying to undermine the Iran deal. Iran is supposedly, according to Israel, their biggest threat.
Yeah.
So let us handle it and try to get a deal done so they don't get a nuclear weapon.
Right. Yeah. I just don't see what this helps.
It does.
Doing that. Like, it just doesn't.
It's a political move. I mean, he's trying to, you know.
Like,
so, yeah, I don't know. It's a very, very strange situation. We'll keep our eye on that. Yeah, the Iran deal, I guess, is going to be, you know, details are going to be coming out soon. Like I mentioned, I've read some, but I don't really feel like getting into it because it's not, you know, totally out there yet. But, okay. So I thought that was interesting. Now, like I mentioned, I'm very excited that presidential campaigns have begun. The season is upon us. Our buddy Ted Cruz announced that he is officially running for president. I wanted to say one of our listeners online, always tweeting at us, Joe Pierce, _Joe_Pierce, he commented or he tweeted us saying that he thought that we said that Ted Cruz wasn't going to run. I don't think we said that. I think what we said was he's going to run. He can't win.
Yeah.
If we did say that, that was an act. You know, I didn't mean to do that, but. What the hell was that?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. I think Israel's spying on what we're doing in here. This is so creepy.
Jesus.
Anyway, so Ted Cruz announced that he's running for president. I brought the a clip of him performing at Liberty University in Virginia, where he gave the address.
Okay.
And it's a very religious school. And I have the address. So let's just watch Ted Cruz announce that he's running for president. We'll get into that. And then he also made some interesting comments about climate change. And then... even better, I have a clip of him on the CBS morning news where he makes a comment about 9/11 and country music. And we can also kind of criticize the way that the media handles people that are supposedly going to be the most powerful person in the world. It's kind of embarrassing. Okay. So this is Ted Cruz running for president. Then we'll get into the rest of it. Announcing that he's running for president. Excuse me. And here we go.
I want to talk to you this morning about reigniting the promise of America. Imagine in 2017, a new president signing legislation repealing every word of Obamacare. Imagine a president who stands...
I have Obamacare, it's good.
...unapologetically with the nation of Israel.
Which I love that too, like stands unapologetically with Israel. So aren't you like this rah-rah America guy? Doesn't it bother you that Israel's spying on us and trying to undermine our diplomacy? Wouldn't that be a problem? You think that's okay?
No, he can say things without really caring about what it means.
Yeah, truly. And here we go to that point.
Imagine a president who says we will stand up and defeat radical Islamic terrorism. I believe in you. I believe in the power of millions of courageous conservatives rising up to reignite the promise of America. And that is why today I am announcing that I'm running for president of the United States.
Now, if you watch the video, I found this video on The Guardian. They don't, the crowd does not stand up in like an ovation uproar. There's people.
No, about 200 people.
Yeah, people are clapping and then some of them slowly stand up. But
they're standing up because everybody else is standing
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Yes.
And weren't these the same students who were forced to go to this?
Well, they were. What? Yes, they were. But I actually read about that. That was a little misleading.
Okay.
If they didn't, they would have to pay a fine if they didn't attend. But that's
was it a tax?
Exactly what happens in any time somebody's speaking. It's like a $10 fine, which is weird, but that's standard protocol. So it's
at
not like
that school?
At that school. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, okay. So that's, but that is true. I mean, they pack the room because people are required to be there unless they want to pay $10. So.
Right. Okay. So just, it's again, it's not as bad as you thought it was. But that's still kind
of
bad.
Of course, right, because that room probably wouldn't have been filled if they
no,
didn't have
it. No, and you know, you're in there anyway, so you might as well clap and stand. That's why everybody's standing so slowly. It was it seemed like a very fake.
Exactly. Well, so anyway, so there's Ted Cruz. He also said our rights don't come from man, they come from God Almighty, which is fine if you're going to imply in that statement that people are going to get more rights. You know what I mean?
Like healthcare?
But he's going to try to take away gay marriage and abortion rights and all this stuff like in that because
all the
God
fun ones?
Is. Yeah, all the ones that make a difference. Yeah. So that's that deal. I wanted to say this because this is interesting too. Ted Cruz was born in Canada.
Yeah. What about that?
Wait.
He's born in Canada.
Alberta.
Is that right?
Yep, Calgary.
He is considered, the Calgary Flames looking to make a little playoff charge in the NHL. We'll see what happens. Johnny Gaudreau, Johnny Hockey. He's considered a natural-born citizen because his mom lived in the U.S. for more than 10 years and was herself a citizen. And now he has renounced his Canadian citizenship.
Oh, do you have a clip of that?
He took the flag and he pissed on it and then he burned a whole thing of maple syrup. And then now he's, you know, he used the oil to burn the flag. So
yeah, man.
He's renounced his Canadian citizenship.
And his dad's Cuban, huh?
Yes. He'd be the first
Hispanic
president.
Hispanic president. Yeah.
As would Marco Rubio, but that's definitely not going to happen either.
Rubio.
What a silly goon he is. All right, so Ted Cruz announces that. Do you have any thoughts on that announcement, or do you want to move on to the climate change thing they said, because it's bananas?
Climate change.
Okay. Ted Cruz, see, and this is what's fascinating, because now he's out there. And by the way, I found the video of this, but it was going to take hours to download. So
oh, yeah.
I wrote the quote down. it's smart to be the first guy out, but it's also a risk to be the first guy out because the attention's all going to be focused on you. Mm-hmm. Everybody else can quiet up until they actually announce it closer to when the election would be. So this guy's got all his shit out there, and people are probably going to debunk it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So this is a quote that Ted Cruz had about climate change, and he goes, and this was with the Texas Tribune or something.
Oh, this is the Galileo?
Yeah. He goes, on the global warming alarmists, anyone who actually points to the evidence that disproves their apocalyptical claims, they don't engage in reasoned debate. What do? They scream, "You're a denier." They brand you a heretic. Today, the global warming alarmists are the equivalent of the flat earthers. It used to be accepted scientific wisdom that the earth is flat, and the heretic named Galileo was branded a denier. To this I say, you know who was against Galileo? The religious authorities and their followers. That's the only reason that you're against it today, sir. You want people that believe that God is going to take care of us to follow you, and that's why you're saying it. Galileo,
oh, good point.
It's just that he's using the religious people to his advantage the same way the religious authorities wanted to say that God ran everything and the earth is flat and that's the reality. No, they were wrong, and so are you. It's just a religious argument against it. The facts do not back up what Ted Cruz is saying. He continues, "I'm a big believer that we should follow the science."
Yeah.
"And follow the evidence. If you look at global warming alarmists, they don't like to look at the actual facts and the data. The satellite data demonstrate that there has been no significant warming whatsoever for 17 years. Now that's a real problem for global warming alarmists, because all those computer models on which this whole issue is based predicted significant warming, and yet the satellite data don't show it ain't happening." Well, I'm not going to debunk that whole thing. Go watch the Vice episode, season two or whatever season they're on, the first episode that they did, where they're in Antarctica and they're showing satellite image and they're measuring the ice and it is clearly melting. So go fuck yourself. You're wrong. The data does back it up and you're just being a silly, silly goose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so frustrating that the first guy out the gate is like, God's going to take care of us. Again, same thing with Jim Inhofe, who, by the way, BP donated $10,000 to him.
Hey. Oh, that's convenient.
That's weird. That's weird that the oil company is supporting the guy that is against global warming.
Oh, are you being sarcastic?
You know what? I am. I am being a little sarcastic. You're right. Yeah, good job sensing that tone. I'm very proud of you. All right. So that's that. This is what I really wanted to get to on the Ted Cruz thing, because this is shit that we basically knew was going to happen. We knew he was going to say the stuff that he's already saying. This is ridiculous. This is a clip of him on the CBS Morning News.
Mm.
And I think it's Gayle King is the host. I don't know. I don't recognize her, but I think it's Gayle King, Oprah's buddy. Okay. She hosts it. I guess they did like a little profile on Ted Cruz, and he was there and they were interviewing him. Let's watch the interview, but just pay attention to how absurd, like we've talked about.
The questions are?
Yeah, the questions.
Yeah, I bet.
Just the softball shit, stuff that doesn't make a difference as to whether this guy's going to be able to run the world.
Do you like freedom?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like we said last week,
God,
right?
No.
We got a tweet from American Sniper 99, and he wants to know how Ted Cruz feels about liberty.
It'd be American Sniper 69, to be
69,
fair.
69, yeah, you're right. Okay, so this is the clip, and it's ridiculous, and we can talk about that.
One more thing, because I see headlines where people say, "Who is Ted Cruz?" So this is what I'd like to know. What kind of music do you listen to?
Oh my God, you have to be kidding me. Seriously?
What kind of music do you listen to? That is going to be crucial in determining whether this guy can like keep the economy
Not a thing
going.
About
no,
it.
No, no, but it's always these kind of questions. Like, you know how they branded Obama or Bush? Like, they were always like the president you would want to drink a beer with.
Well, that's
the
true,
president
I would.
You would want to be friends with. Like, he's the man of the people. He's cool. Like,
right.
He's just like you. Vote for him. It's always the same shit.
Oh, it's always the same shit, but it's just infuriating because it's starting early this year.
Yeah, well, that just shows you how little that generation still thinks of our generation. And it's valid for the most part, but it's like, look, this guy's cool. You could follow him on Instagram or Twitter and he'll like he'll do cool shit like celebrities do. Like
but that's what it is. It's making politicians celebrities.
Right, but kids, the sad thing is a lot of people in our generation won't open their fucking eyes. They'll just watch this and be like, oh, okay, that's cool. Like, you know how many people probably voted for Obama that had no idea even a thing about his political stance?
Absolutely, but that's the thing. That's why when people on the right complain, like, well, they're just blindly following him, you're right. If you voted for Obama and you paid attention to what he said, you would be disappointed by him, like I am.
Yes.
That's the reality. You should be disappointed by what the guy's done.
But again, but I feel like a lot of people didn't start complaining until that was like a more popular opinion of Absolutely. Obama let us down. So like, I don't know, man. I think about this a lot. Like, our generation needs to step up and open their fucking eyes and realize that if we don't start making changes now, like, this country is going to be fucked even 10 times worse than it already is.
No doubt about it.
So and that's my one, like, plea to the people is, like, let's, you know.
No, you're right. And continue to listen to the Mandatory Santa podcast. Yeah, exactly. We're going to break down all this shit because the information is out there. That's the reality. The information is there if you want to be informed and you want to pay attention to what these people are actually saying as opposed to the polished image that shows up on CBS at 9 in the morning to sell Kias and, you know, whatever bullshit.
Yep.
I mean, you're absolutely right. And the other thing about it is that legislation needs to be passed, like we've talked about.
Yep.
Money in politics, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. NSA spying, all that shit, it's not going to be fixed by voting for the president. It's going to be fixed by petitioning, by protesting, by electing local leaders that can actually rise up and make a difference. But until that happens, nothing's going to happen.
So Flannery Genelozzi, Noe, 2017.
Oh my God.
No, Joey's 2024.
We're going to make Joey Secretary of State or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm cool with that. Let's finish this interview because it's just wonderful.
All right. Over on a Saturday night, what are we doing? What are you watching on TV? What do you do for fun?
On TV, I just finished watching the third season of House of Cards.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Good answer.
Like, yeah. Good taste in TV shows.
You know, fortunately, there are fewer really murders in politics and in real life.
Probably. He probably thinks he is Frank Underwood.
Oh.
I'm going to become the president.
What's your music?
You know, music is interesting. I grew up listening to classic rock, and I'll tell you sort of an odd story. My music.
But this story is not odd.
I don't think it would be.
It's incredibly well placed, believe it or not.
It's changed on 9/11. And it's a very strange.
Okay, now I know I keep pausing. My dad complains if he listens to it. He's like, oh, you fucking pausing it too much. Shut up, Pat. When he mentions 9/11, you see the tone change.
It has to change.
And the other one stops smiling. They're like, yes, let's be reverential.
9/11.
Let's be reverential.
9/11.
9/11. Yeah. Oh, you said it.
I actually intellectually find this very curious, but on 9/11, I didn't like how rock music responded. What? And country music collectively.
You got something to say, Joey? What's the matter? He doesn't like how Shinedown handled 9/11.
Oh, my God.
Because you know that was his classic rock was Shinedown.
Hey, you leave Shinedown alone.
They did a wonderful cover of Simple Man.
Yes, they did. Fantastic cover. But play the clip.
Oh, I thought you had something to say.
That was just your flabbergasted angry face.
It's just like what every group was supposed to come and represent this horrible tragedy. It's what rap music didn't respond.
Dude, Bruce Springsteen was rocking to 9/11.
Yeah, he's classic rock, right?
The way they responded, it resonated with me, and I have to say, it just as a gut level. I had an emotional reaction that says these are my
pause
people, and so
I'm sorry. I'm thinking
my dad's gonna be furious.
I know that.
My dad doesn't listen to the show because of you.
No!
I swear to God, he listened to like the first two, and now my mom listens.
All right. Well, you know what? Your dad should get back in. This is gonna be good.
See, I think he chose country music because most Americans listen to country music.
You think so? Do you think that that's part of the base of people that would probably vote for Ted Cruz?
Yes.
Yeah.
Listen to country music?
Yes.
I would say so too.
So I think he's doing, he's trying to do what he can.
Yeah, but okay. All right. Maybe we'll look at their
I thought we were all understanding from the beginning.
Yeah, we got that, Joe. That's how we set this whole thing up.
Since 2001, I listen to country music, but I'm an odd country music fan because
I didn't
listen to it prior to 2001.
No, I hear you on country music. And final sentence.
No, you don't, Gayle King. You do not.
You have so little. Never mind. Sorry, Evan. I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
You're going to say because Gayle King's black, there's probably very small chance that she's listening to country music?
No.
What were you going to say? Well, then now you got to clean that statement up.
Okay, well, no, I was going to say just because of the show she's on, she probably has so little support left in the black community that you can't lose them completely with a statement like that.
Right. Well, she's hoping that the
I apologize for saying that. It was a joke.
She's hoping the Carrie Underwood folks will jump on board here.
Maybe.
Final sentence. You should be elected president because just one sentence.
Oh, God.
Because I'll tell the truth and I'll do what I said I would do.
All right. We shall see, Senator Cruz. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I also love that, too, where it's like, yes, the political debate in America is, sum up your shit in one sentence.
Yep.
Hey, that's impossible. Meanwhile, this is the same generation that'll criticize my generation for being on Twitter and be like, how could they possibly express themselves? Guess what? We can express ourselves pretty well on Twitter and have a decent debate, not watching this idiot sum up his whole life in one sentence. Like, I'm going to be honest. Okay.
And
thanks.
And I'm going to do what I said I would do.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Great. That's a fucking given, asshole. That's what you should be doing. That shouldn't be something you're proud of.
No. But it is, as a president.
That's a base.
That's something that it's so sad that's something that is like trying to get you support.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fuck you over.
Yeah. Right. I'm not going to lie to you. Don't worry about it. Joey, any little wrap up on this?
Yeah, it's like this guy just announced he was going to be president. You have an opportunity to go over policy or anything whatsoever, and all you get is, I like country music.
Well, all the policy on the right is undoing liberal policy. It's undoing Obamacare. It's undoing gay marriage.
And a lot of those are good ideas. Not those two, but...
What do you mean?
Nothing.
Oh, you're just being a ball breaker.
Kind of.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, anyway, so we're going to keep our eye on Ted Cruz. Hopefully some other goons will jump into this race and we'll get to see what they have to say about things. But for now, it's just pressures on Ted Cruz to. So then
right now he's effectively the only person running for president.
Named. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I guess Jeb Bush hasn't officially announced.
No,
but he's gone
in.
Through the motions. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But he's not. He's smart. He's not being.
Yeah. He's going to take
his
time
flying around. Yeah. Okay. So that's Ted Cruz. Quickly, I wanted to do an update on the death penalty stuff that we talked about. Utah, firing squads are back in Utah.
Good job,
they are
guys.
The backup to lethal injections signed by Governor Gary Herbert. That's the governor of Utah.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good guy.
Is he a Mormon?
Probably. I don't know. Maybe. Possibly. Yeah. Why don't you do a little research on this character? Anyway, so this is if the lethal injection isn't available because they can't get the drugs, mm-hmm. or if there's an injunction or whatever, they're going to go to the firing squad. So that's a real thing. And like we talked about, Andy, you were right on. It's they sit the guy down on a wooden chair. They strap him in. There's sandbags around it so the bullets don't bounce around.
Well, that's
five guys stand there. One of them bullet. Has the killer bullet, and they shoot for the heart.
Told you.
It explodes the heart, and usually they'll die within 2 minutes.
Yep.
So
that's a whole 2 minutes.
No,
that's a lot
it's
of suffering.
Not. It's not 2 minutes. If you get shot through the heart, you're fucking dead.
You bleed out. It's however quick it takes to bleed out is what actually kills you.
Yeah, but those are basically kill shots.
You would hope, unless they miss, which they have.
What
a couple
if you
of
like
times.
Hit him in the like the stomach?
Yeah,
and
gut.
You just like, and then what happens? One guy comes over you, stands over you with the pistol, and just puts
and
one
just
in your
up.
Head like a fucking mafia.
It's like in Reservoir Dogs. It's like, Larry, I'm gonna die. Yeah. You're not gonna die. Stay with me. It's gonna hurt, but you're not gonna die.
Right. Not today.
Anyway, all right. So that, and then in Oklahoma, the. Good old state of Oklahoma. Oh, God, Andy.
Yes, he is. Church of Latter-day Saints. That's the real crazy one.
Yeah.
And he was born in American Fork, Utah.
Ah. Hmm.
Imagine that. And lives in the governor's mansion, obviously. Went to Brigham Young. And
very Mormon college.
Yeah, Just Jimmer Fredette. We can never forget that dude.
Who's that?
You don't remember that? When BYU made their big playoff push like 2 years ago, that guy would sink threes from like... the half court line.
Oh no! Huh.
And would do. He'd get like I forget what his record was. It was like 14 in a game or something.
Oh wow! Really?
Just
that's
automatic.
Cool.
He's in the NBA now. He plays for the Kings. He's not that great, but he was like the best, like a Rudy college story because he's just a small white dude from BYU, just killing shit.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
all right. Oklahoma, the nitrogen gas chamber is to be used if they're not allowed to use lethal injections, like we said. If they can't get the drug or if there's injunction, they're going to go to gas chamber.
Oh.
It was approved 8-0 in their like
well, they all said
panel
yes.
without public debate. And the vote's coming this weekend, I read. So whether it's going to be official or not. But they didn't debate it publicly. They unanimously were like, yeah, whatever. We'll just gas people to death. That's good.
Wasn't that like the most horrific part of the Holocaust for most people?
It was
gassing?
It was up there, yeah. It was certainly up there.
So... oh, my God. Imagine being on death row, knowing you're going to die, and then having that hanging over your head.
That you're going to
die
by
asphyxiation?
Are they
going to give me lethal injection, right. or is it not going to be, are they not going to have it that day, and I get to choke to death?
Oh, it's a mess.
Or
it's
you get shot.
Well, because
I would rather get shot than choked. Are you kidding me?
All right, so let's play this game. Gas chamber, execution, or potentially flawed lethal injection, which is becoming
I'm
the norm.
I'm going to go probably flawed injection.
Shoot me.
You know what? I think I'm going to probably go flawed injection, too. Because you're probably fucking out of it a little bit, at least. In the gas chamber, you're going to know that you're dying.
Oh, the gas chamber is obviously, if anybody picks that, they're a sociopath. Right. Like, that's insane.
Well, I don't know why they can't put, well, they probably are a sociopath if they're on death row, but I don't know why they can't put the person to sleep, at least. Like, give them anesthesia, put them out, and then put them in the fucking gas chamber if you're going to. Right, because at least then,
but like that.
Do you see what we're talking about in 2015 America? This is what we're discussing.
This is what we're,
should we even have the death penalty? It's like, what's the best way to kill somebody?
What's the least barbaric way to kill somebody? What's the most barbaric? Put them in a fucking gas chamber.
Yeah, that's definitely up. That's up there with hanging.
That's like, up there with no. I don't even think it's up there with hanging. I'm putting gas chamber up there with putting somebody in a cage. And lighting
it on fire,
a Looney Tunes style,
like the ISIS video,
thing, strip of fire to the
I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
Well, all right. So anyway, so that's what's going on in America currently, as far as the death penalty is concerned.
Good things.
Yeah, all good stuff coming out of this country. So, listen, everybody, we're gonna end this show extremely strongly with this Levi Pettit apology video, which I really enjoyed. These two haven't seen it. I don't think, Evan, you haven't seen it, right? Yeah. Okay, so nobody in the room other than me has seen it.
I'm so excited.
You should be. It's going to be great. Please stick around for that. You'll enjoy it. Before we get to that, Andy wanted to talk about this whole Slenderman situation.
Yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal to me, but I just found it very interesting because I think I heard about this like a couple months ago because it took place like a while ago. This is over a year old, right? It was like 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like it's probably like 8 months old, the case, by now. Anyway, I didn't know about Slenderman. Did you guys know about it?
The first time I ever heard about Slenderman was actually from an episode of Supernatural.
Really?
Which was from last year, where they invoked the Slenderman's name.
Okay, yeah.
So that was the first time I ever heard of from it was from a WB TV show.
Yeah, I never heard about it until this trial, and then I was like, what the hell is this Slenderman
exactly.
Thing?
I heard about it from this trial, and then I went and,
or the
like,
case, whatever.
Yeah, the case, and, like, read about it, and blah, blah, blah. So, basically, these two middle school girls, they were both 12 at the time. Mm-hmm. They believe in this fictional character, which I guess started from an internet meme, which
yes,
I didn't know about.
I think it started on Reddit, I want to say.
Yeah, it was, like, manufactured by Reddit. And there is, I forget the guy's name, but there is, like, a person credited to starting it.
Oh, okay.
And he, like, makes money off of it.
Yeah,
like,
he wrote a book, too, I think.
Like, anytime it's used. And, anyway, so...
Well, and you guys should Google Slenderman, because it's fascinating.
The whole
look of this thing.
And... it's unbelievable. Like, look at the Google images and stuff. It's great. But anyway, so these girls believed in this fictional character so much that they believed he lived in a mansion in a national park in Wisconsin.
Which
is where they live.
That makes sense.
Sure. This giant, shadowy figure... lives in a mansion in the middle of the National Forest in Wisconsin. Sure.
Well, because it's one girl we've kind of talked about is more into Slenderman than the other.
Yes,
one, right?
But the big thing is that they're both blaming each other now.
Yeah.
They're both saying the other was more into it, but, you know, you never know with that.
Right.
So anyway, yes?
Oh, look at this. It's little Joe Harary. What's going on?
Hey, Joe.
So anyway... I don't even remember what
it's not armed,
about.
So we can hear it. It's not armed.
We can hear it. It's not armed. Okay, so anyways, these two girls believed in this fictional character named Slenderman, and they lured a mutual friend of theirs, a girl they went to school with. They lured her, tricked her into having a sleepover, took her out into the woods under the guise of, I'm sure, like, we're going to go, you know, do something,
play,
do what
whatever,
kids
yeah.
do. Yeah. Ended up stabbing her 19 times. Left her there to die, basically, and she was able to get out to get up and run to a highway. I'm sure she, like, played dead, I'm guessing.
Right, which is a smart move.
Of course, that's what you do in that situation. Got up, ran to a highway, and a guy was riding his bike and happened to pass her and find her, thank God, in time, so she survived. But now... you know, they have these two little girls on trial and they're deciding whether or not they're both deemed fit for trial. It's now whether it's going to be as adults or juveniles.
Right. Which is what we found. That's what we were talking about this week. It's really interesting because the one of the little girls is you read her diary. She's an obviously disturbed kid. She
yes.
truly believes in this. She thinks Voldemort is a real thing.
And like, has conversations
with
him.
And she can talk to him.
And one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There's still Leo? Speculation on which one it is.
I have a question, though.
Yeah, so, I guess Leonardo.
I guess.
Like, oh, no, Raphael, because he's aggressive. Exactly. That was my guess.
Hey, there you go. So I'm confused how we get from two girls who like Slender Man to stabbing the hell out of a third
okay,
kid.
That's
part
where
of the
comes
Slender
in.
Man myth.
They thought they were going to become what's called proxies, where is they thought if they killed somebody and gave a child to Slender Man, they could go live in his mansion with him and like be friends with him.
Oh, wait, so if you kill
which
someone...
Which, incidentally, is how you get to live with the Koch brothers. You have to sacrifice
yes,
a small
you have to
child.
Sacrifice a child. And they also believed if they didn't do this, that Slender Man would kill their whole family in, quote, like 3 seconds.
See, but that's the thing. Now you're going to charge these kids with...
In like 3 seconds.
As adults.
And kill them in Oklahoma, but not like in 3 seconds.
No, it's going to take like 3 minutes probably. But yeah, that's the thing. Like we've had this conversation about charging kids as adults.
Yeah.
Obviously, these kids are crazy. So you're saying that a 12-year-old who is insane is not somebody that we're even going to try to remotely medicate or try to rehabilitate in any way. I'm not saying even these kids should get out of jail.
I think it's more everybody in everybody's head. It's whether they deserve that when they committed a premeditated murder at the age of 12.
Right, but they didn't actually kill the girl. It's attempted murder.
Okay,
but,
a premeditated attempted murder. But in their plans, it was a murder.
Sure, but if you're insane, it doesn't really matter how old you are. And especially, this is the other thing, if you're 12 years old, we teach kids until they're 8, 9 years old to think that Santa's a real thing. Like, we're teaching them to think that things
that
are definitely not real. God? We teach people that to believe these things.
Wait.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I just burst your bubble? God's real. I'm just kidding. And so is Santa. They hang out together with the Easter Bunny. They party. But that's my point. They're trying to convince... We teach kids it's okay to believe shit that's not real. A tooth fairy.
And when they actually do.
Right. And then these kids firmly believe that something that isn't real is real.
Sure. It's just... the only thing I don't get is that there's a Wikipedia page on Slender Man. And
oh,
it explains that it started from an internet meme and that it's made up and that this guy, this man, this real person was credited as creating it. If you're... Okay. When you first learn about something you're into, what's like the first thing you do?
Go to Wikipedia.
You go research it. You Wikipedia it, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah, you Google
so
them and you see what happens.
So these girls have probably read everything about this character on the internet that there is, and the Wikipedia page is telling them it's not real.
Ooh.
That's true, but let me ask you this. If you're Ted Cruz and you want to believe something or you want other people to believe it, there could be all kinds of data out in the world that's saying that the thing that you're saying is false, but you can just ignore that because you want to believe the outcome that you want to believe.
Then are you crazy or are you just motivated to kill somebody?
Well, and that's going to be the question, right? Based on this kid's diary, to me, not a professional, but she seems crazy.
Sure.
You know, I mean, she's writing all these like murder. And
I'm not saying that she's not crazy. I was just, you gave me that point. So then I was giving you that point.
Yeah. Well, right. I mean, that's not a truly fair analogy.
We were talking more hypothetically than this specific situation.
All right. So we have two girls. They believe in Slender Man.
Yes.
If they kill the one girl that's giving a child to Slender Man, they can move into his mansion.
Yes.
Yeah.
So why would they run away?
Slender Mansion.
Slender Mansion, yeah. Which just, like, it sounds like it's just an orgy, I would imagine. But,
mostly.
Yeah.
Isn't there something about taking a picture and him appearing or, like, anything?
Yeah,
or?
There's, like, weird thing. It's like that, like, game that you would play in, or, like...
Bloody Mary?
Yeah, like that. Like, if
did you guys ever
Candyman,
do that?
It's Candyman.
Did you ever
Candyman.
Do that?
If
Candyman.
You do this person appears.
Tony Todd does appear, I swear to God.
What?
Candyman.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah,
what
appears.
Do you have to do to get him to appear?
You say Candyman three times.
Go in
the
bathroom
off.
And then come back.
I can't do it now.
Okay. You just said he will appear, so why don't you go in the bathroom and get candy?
Does he just appear, or does he hurt you?
He kills you.
Oh.
Ah, well,
because if he just appeared and was like, I'd be like, I knew it!
No, that's it.
And then you get to leave
the
bathroom.
Here's some good and plenty and a Milky Way. Like, oh, okay, no. Great. Okay, thanks, great. Candyman. I appreciate it.
You have a really bad reputation for how nice of a guy you are.
Yeah, you're dressed all in pink and gold. You look adorable.
Just a quick thing. Tony Todd was the name of the actor who played Candyman.
Yeah, nobody... I'm just making sure. Everybody knew that, and nobody cared.
Okay.
I cared.
All Thank right. you.
Anyway, so this whole Slenderman thing, I mean, if you guys want to look at the pictures of Slenderman, like you were saying in the pictures, it's funny because they do a really good job online, like promoting this myth, which is
some of them do, and then some of them are just like ridiculous, like CGI
copy and paste.
It's just.
The best ones are where there's like kids playing in the front, and then in the perspective, you can see like, oh, what is that in the back? Oh my God, it's Slenderman. He's creepy. Anyway, so we'll keep our eye on this, whether these kids should be charged with adults or not. I don't know. I feel like 12, I don't care what you did. You're a kid. Like, that's way too young.
No, I'll give you that. Like,
you know?
But they have to be, but I would say at least put them in a mental institution for a very long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They shouldn't be getting out at 21 or whatever. They're not going to juvie, but right. But they're clearly disturbed, but we can give it a shot.
Well, it's not to me, I don't necessarily buy, and I know this is unpopular, buy or believe in the fact that because somebody's crazy, then they shouldn't face the same penalty as a competent person would. Because to me, they still committed the crime, and I guess because they're crazy, it wasn't that bad in their mind. But like, to me, they still, at the end of the day, they still committed that crime. And if it's something like that was thought out like this and was like, that's, to me, that's kind of still like a premeditated thing. Like, yes, they were crazy, they were thinking in that frame of mind, but it was they still wanted to commit violence against somebody and like kill them,
right?
And so like they knew what that was.
Quick question, only one of the girls did the stabbing, right?
Yes, but they're both blaming each other.
Yeah. I think they probably both got involved. Like, the, we were talking about them. Both of them were involved somehow.
Yeah. Oh, okay. If your friend's stabbing somebody, like...
I guess you pick up
the you're like,
and
I'm
stab
here.
You throw a little kick in there. To your point, like, it's premeditated. They committed a crime, but the crime is based in the reality that sane people have agreed upon to be reality. They're operating on a different...
But you don't think those girls... I just can't believe for a second that neither of those girls knew what they were doing was wrong. They knew what they were doing was wrong.
I mean, I can believe it. I can believe it because there's bad parents that don't teach kids anything. They're not paying attention to what the kid's doing. The kid could be depressed. They could be insane. And they can easily not know what's wrong or real. Because if they're... Put it this way. Say they're looking at Slender Man as a role model or an inspiration figure.
Yes.
He says you have to sacrifice kids.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the reality they're choosing to accept. In that context, that's a good thing to do because it's going to benefit them. It's going to help Slender Man.
Sure.
Whatever.
Sure, you know? Sure. In that they believe in this, that's fine. But competency to stand trial is always based on, did the person know what they were doing was wrong? And I have to believe at the end of the day, those girls knew murder was wrong.
Maybe. And here's the other interesting aspect of this. Why do they have to decide before the trial how to try them? Do the trial, see what they have to say, let people determine whether they knew what they were doing or not. And at the end, then you go, adult or not adult.
No, but they're able to be coached the entire way up into their trial about how to act.
That's fine. And that's in every case. But then you should still be able to, I see what you're saying. So even if they did know, you could say, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh.
Okay.
They know what to say going into it.
Right. Okay.
That's true.
That's a good point. Okay. All right. Anyway, so let's keep our eye on the Slender Man thing. We'll see if these kids do get tried as adults. I don't know. Joe, you got any final wrap-up on that? Or
it's beyond crazy to me. I just don't get how you get from this guy who pops up to pictures, hey, we kill this girl, now we got to live with him in a mansion. It just, to me, seems too far out of reality.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. So we'll see what happens. Okay. So here we are. We've arrived at the time I'm very excited about. This is the Levi Pettit apology video that took place. It's like 5 minutes. It's a great 5 minutes. And then if we decide we want to keep going, which we probably are going to want to do mm-hmm. that, there's some questions from the media.
Oh, yay.
That are really enjoyable. So this is for, if you're not paying attention, this is the guy from SAE that was on the bus doing the chant from the frat that he doesn't want black people in the fraternity. We should hang them and all this nonsense. The visual of this thing is terrific. If you just Google Levi Pettit apology video, it's up. And what are you going to Instagram it?
Yeah.
Okay. Andy's going to Instagram the picture. It's A_Lozio on Instagram. He is just flanked by like 15 black leaders. And it's hilarious
to look at. That's so funny.
All right. So as we continue, you know, we'll pause it. Obviously, we'll make some comments. But let's delve into this apology video, and everybody that's still listening, we appreciate it. I think you made the right choice because this is going to be very good. So here we go. This is Levi Pettit apologizing for being a weak-willed little bitch. Also, he makes reference to being a follower and being weak-willed.
Oh,
which
nice.
I think it's good because great. That's what our episode was called. Yeah. Okay, so here we go. Levi Pettit at the podium.
Thank you all for being here today. Even though I wish today's meeting was not necessary, I'm deeply appreciative of everyone here that joined us. Also, thank you to Senator Pittman for inviting me today. You're a blessing to me, my mom, and my dad. Thank you. I can't thank you enough for the way you've embraced me and opened my eyes to things I had not seen before.
Okay.
Let me start by saying that I'm sorry. Deeply sorry. I'm so sorry for all the pain that I've caused, and I want you all to know that directly from me. Although I don't deserve it, I want to ask for your forgiveness. There are no excuses for my behavior. I never thought of myself as a racist. I never considered it a possibility. But the bottom line is that the words that were said in that chant were mean, hateful, and racist. I will be deeply sorry and deeply ashamed of what I've done for the rest of my life. Some have wondered why I haven't spoken out publicly.
It's because I wanted to make sure I had my story straight before I did any further damage.
It's because I needed a professional speechwriter to put this together for me.
Exactly. Okay.
So I could come out.
Okay, little Levi, keep going.
The truth is I've had a mix of pain, shame, sorrow, and fear over the consequences of my actions. I did not want to apologize to the press or to the whole country first until I came here to apologize to the community most directly impacted. So I decided that it would be best. And
you wait like that?
Yeah.
You like that? That's a nice touch.
It's a great touch.
Keeps going. There's a couple things that he says where I'm just, I take umbrage to some of the stuff he says.
Why couldn't he at least practiced it like once or twice?
Well, it's interesting because he seems disinterested the whole time.
Painful.
And it's very just like, hi, ma. And then at the end,
he's just reading a teleprompter
at the end. It gets the whole thing and you're like, all right, he did it. He went through the motions. He gets to the end and they keep asking questions. He's like, all right, I'm out of here, and he just like walks on the stage, and it's like really like it, to me it undoes what he was trying to say, but we'll get there.
Okay.
So that the student leaders that we got the opportunity to meet with today were back from spring break. I think the best way to express
he didn't want to apologize until like the black leaders at the school were back from spring break. They weren't there. So he wanted to meet with them and make sure everything was cool.
Okay.
Truth about who I am and what I feel is to read you all a letter that I wrote to President Boren a few days after the bus ride.
Okay. All right. Ironically, he was in the back of the bus.
Dear President Boren, I would like to express my deepest sorrow and regret for my behavior last weekend on the bus. I'm so sorry for what I've done, who I've hurt.
Pause for a second.
Joey.
It's a speech in a speech.
Oh, it is. You're right. It's like Inception. The inception of apologies.
Okay, go ahead.
Have you been writing titles down, you son of a bitch?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Repercussions that I've brought to the university that I love. I'm incredibly ashamed of myself and would beg your forgiveness, as well as the forgiveness of everyone I've hurt with the words that have come from my mouth. Mm. It may take me a lifetime to earn it, let alone deserve it, but I'm committed to trying. I would do absolutely anything to take it back if I could.
Yeah, you would.
Damn right you
yeah,
would.
Goddamn right you would.
Yeah.
You'd be whatever.
He's going to be that kid in job interviews for the rest of
your life. Absolutely. You'd be watching chicks wrestling KY jelly right now if you just shut your stupid mouth.
Yeah.
To hear the words that I'm a racist or a bigot may seem logical after seeing my face and hearing me participate in a mindlessly sickening chant. However, what you and others saw in that video is not who I really am, It's not who I was raised to be and not who I think of myself to be.
Interestingly, that's why we called him a idiot follower, weak-willed little bitch. Because if it's not you, then you're just a groupthink little baby that shouldn't have been involved.
All the good that I've done in my life by helping bring people together has been erased by a 6-second video.
What?
Well, it's a lot longer than 6 seconds.
No. Well, who did he help bring together his whole life? What is he talking about? All the good I've done in my life.
Yeah, that's a good point. What good have you done?
What happened?
He got arrested for DUI when he was 17. He did community service.
That's true. I spoon-fed some homeless people on Thanksgiving.
It's the same way we all put it on our resume and act like we were doing something good when it was court-ordered.
There you go. Andy, tell him the hard truth.
Not me.
No, Andy's the saint.
Carry this burden forever.
Yeah, you will.
It was a tragic failure with far-reaching consequences, and I am extremely disappointed in the weakness I demonstrated by engaging in activities that were so hurtful to others.
Okay.
I see how my choice is affecting those who have been impacted by my thoughtless decision to participate in this chant. There are many things I will need to do over time to regain the trust of my friends and family.
No, your friends and family don't care, because that's why you were able to do it so easily.
Yeah. Mm.
They don't give a shit.
No.
And the public at large. I'm thoroughly devastated that my actions have resulted in the loss of my beloved college community, mm-hmm. and I will feel the pain of it for the rest of my life.
Hopefully.
I understand completely why I have lost this privilege. However, I do want very much to find some positive outcome from this awful situation and to move forward with my life and attempt to make it right and make amends to the degree that I am able. If there is anything at all I can salvage from my mistake, I would hope it could include arming myself with the tools to move forward with my life and maybe even somehow help prevent this sort of thing from happening again elsewhere.
Okay, so yeah, guys, that's what he's going to do for the rest of his life. Guy's he's going to be a motivational speaker.
He's going to spend the rest of his life frat busting. He's going to go around and break apart frats across America. That's his new job.
With deep apologies, Levi Pettit.
All right, that was the letter. Now he's back to real life here.
Okay.
The words in that letter are all heartfelt words. I thank President Bourne for accepting my apology. Yesterday, I was humbled by the fact that I had a chance to meet face-to-face with members of the football leadership team.
which is so funny, because that's the football leadership team, because that's exactly what you joked about, where we're like, it's 5%.
What's the football leadership team?
I guess
there is no football team.
I guess the quarterback, like, he talked to him and was like, sorry, I shouldn't have said the N-word. I apologize. I don't know. I mean, I guess there's like a group of like captains or whatever on the football team that I guess he had to meet up with, because like you joked, but it's apparently true, those are the black people at OSU.
Really? Who is that person who sent in that complaint letter?
I didn't, no name on that letter, but yeah, I mean, Andy, good point.
Watch this episode.
You made a very insightful point and a funny joke, I thought.
Yeah. Thank
you.
They accepted my apology, and together we discuss steps that we can use moving forward to make sure that this doesn't happen again.
Okay.
Over the past week or so, I've met with a number of pastors and leaders in the community to seek understanding of the meaning behind the words that I spoke on that bus.
Okay, yeah. Well, he keeps going to that point, and then we'll get into it, because it's ridiculous. Like, I didn't know that was a bad word.
Meeting with a few people does not change what I did, but it has begun to change me and my understanding of those hateful words.
Okay.
With no question, my words on that bus were disgusting, and these words should never be repeated under any circumstance.
Unless, like, it's a Nas album, then it's okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, Nas is
I'm also upset and embarrassed that I failed to stand up as a leader and stop this chant.
Right.
Again, as a leader. Why is he a leader?
What do you mean?
He said I
he wasn't a leader.
He wasn't. He was a follower, he's saying.
Oh, I thought he said I didn't stand up as a leader.
I failed
to
stand up at, like, be a leader on the bus and be like, let's not do this chant again.
Okay. So he went from doing it, mindlessly partaking in it, to having a moral stance against it and maybe just not doing it, to standing up against it.
Exactly.
Okay, yes. Great.
I now have a clear understanding of what lives behind the words. From this point forward, I will be the leader that I should have been on that bus and stand up against racism in any form.
Okay.
Now, before I take a couple of your questions, let me just say this.
Which clearly we're in for the questions, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. All the apologies in the world won't change what I've done. So I will spend the rest of my life trying to be the person who heals and brings people of all races together.
Okay.
That is what I hope.
This guy's Captain Planet now.
Well, I mean, it takes a while for a lot of college kids to, you know, figure out what they want to do in life.
Listen,
maybe
if
this
he spins
was a bit
this,
of serendipity.
Listen, if he spins this, he could be a politician.
Ugh. He probably, could,
yeah. He's bringing people together. I know. He's making change.
Wait, he says something stupid in a minute, or like ridiculous that I was just like, ugh, what are you saying? The whole thing is ridiculous. First of all.
Is stupid and ridiculous.
Is this necessary? Like, is it really necessary for these black leaders and whatever, America, to watch this dummy apologize for this? You know what
I
happened?
I think it is.
Just because it's fun to watch.
Just because it's fun. Humiliating for him.
Yes.
This well, should be part of yes. This should be part of the penalty of what he has to do.
The,
yes.
The football team should have been holding him up by his underwear while he was giving his speech.
And pray comes out of this. Thank you.
Oh my God, this is it's a frenzy.
The people that I've met with have opened my eyes to things that I had not been exposed to leading up to this event. These stories and lessons and insight that they've shared with me is stuff that I will carry with me for the rest of my life and use as tools to live a life that refutes any type of racist act from ever happening again.
Levi Pettit. On record, he is going to try to stop racism entirely forever. That's what he's
going to
do.
Any incident ever, ever, he is going to try and stop it.
He's just
going to
so
you guys
up.
Know.
He will be there.
Yeah. The white Avenger is going to come in and stop racism from ever happening. All right.
Levi, tell us how it is that you learned. Where did you learn the song? Where did you learn the chant?
Oh, where did you learn the chant? Do you think he answers this question?
Nope. He didn't hear it.
I'm not here today to talk about where I learned the chant or how
nice.
It was
good
taught.
Response.
I'm here to apologize for what I did because
not apologize the for the chant. Apologize for what he did, getting caught.
Right, get a guy. I'm really sorry to everybody at my frat for ruining this fun song that we used to sing before we get hammered.
Yeah.
Truth is that what was said in that chant is disgusting. And it should never, and after meeting with these people and.
These people?
Oh,
what the,
he did
whoa!
It.
Whoa! What are these people? What the fuck does that mean? Whoa! I love when he said these people.
And pointed.
Oh, it makes me so happy.
Wait, can you remind it? I just want to see any of their faces if they reacted to
yes.
It. For what I did. Because the truth is that what was said in that chant is disgusting. And it should never. And after meeting with these people and everybody else I've met with,
they thought about it.
They thought about it.
They
were like, "We're letting it go.
Just let it play.
Just let it go."
Yeah.
Dude, what if one of them grabbed the mic? Like,
what do you mean?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah, he's gonna have to apologize tomorrow. I'm sorry for the saying these people in my apology.
It's so. Never mind.
All right.
Learned that these words should never be repeated, joked about, or ever used in any form ever again. And these are lessons that I'm going to carry with me for the rest of my life.
But what about in the context of history where they were said freely and it's just part of the story? So we should please. So this guy's in favor of censoring Huck Finn.
It's very funny you made that reference because when he was apologizing, saying I didn't know the impact of the word, I was going to say we all read Huckleberry Finn in fourth grade.
It's madness. First of all, you think this
you
kid,
can't,
this kid doesn't listen to rap albums. This kid's never heard anything mentioned in history classes, nothing where you can't glean the he's never watched a movie. He can't figure out where the impact of the N-word comes from, like that's a thing.
Or he's never been in a social situation and understood that you can't say that word.
Right. Like, that's clearly...
And maybe that's the fun of the chant to begin with.
Exactly right.
Levi, can you tell us, was it that you just didn't understand how bad those words were or simply chose to ignore that?
Good question.
Nice.
I think... I knew they were wrong, but I never knew how or why they were wrong. And the people that I've met with, like Senator Pittman and all these leaders behind me, have opened my eyes to really put meaning behind those words and the impact that people have when those words are said.
Yes, sir. All right.
If, you know, you get caught doing this and time has
passed.
Right.
You got a speech right, or you're going through all the motions, you're doing everything you possibly could. Don't you think they should have practiced some of the questions and the way he was going to answer them?
No, they don't know what they're going to ask. I mean, they definitely know.
I bet they ran through like a good amount of questions.
They are directing where the questions are coming from. Yeah,
but he seems to be having too much trouble, though.
Well, he's not. I mean, his defense.
I'm sorry. He is having too much trouble.
Yeah, Joey's saying
he's
having a hard time. Yeah,
yeah, of course.
So it's defense. I mean, he is a young kid. He's not fucking trained to do this type of shit. So it's like, all right, I'll give him a break there. But you know,
and to be fair, he does not seem like that smart of a kid.
No,
like he seems like
he's just a guy,
a frat kid.
Yeah. Not well. You sure you want to put that out there? All right.
Maybe.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Uh-oh. We don't want to alienate the TFM crowd. I love you guys.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Levi, the tears.
Levi, gave you tears with NBC News. It obviously can't be easy for you to get in front of all these cameras. But a lot of people around the country were hurt, not just by those awful words and the fact that they were said, but how they were said. It was laughter on that bus. What were you thinking?
I was wondering when this was going to come up, because I remember watching it and I was like, people around the country, let's be honest, we're not hurt by these words. Okay, I don't think the black community is fragile enough that when they hear, unsurprisingly, a all white fraternity throw words like that around, I don't think people are surprised and like stung to their core by that. It's probably annoying, and you probably go, what a little asshole, and like, this is an issue, and I wish it wasn't happening. But I don't think the black community writ large is like hurt by this. The country was not damaged by this. It's just a reminder of like, yeah, that's still happening, and that there's a reason why it's happening.
I completely agree. Yeah, I don't think anybody was like shocked, but it's just like, oh, that sucks. Yeah, I really wish that still wasn't the case, but.
Yeah, but who that hurts less, I think, than like when Eric Garner gets choked to death.
To me, it's almost a little, not belittling, but whatever. Like it kind of like it. It's like if I was a black person, I'd be like, no, man, like we're not that fragile. We've been through much worse shit.
Of course,
like that kid's a fucking moron. But like whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's
like,
just another. It's just a
like
reminder,
make sure.
But,
yeah,
but they're not hurt by it. They didn't like go around like, oh, I can't go to work today. I'm upset about this.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Okay.
I'm not here to talk about.
And
what
yes, it's white guys guessing how black people feel. Yeah. All right. What do you want me to do?
But yeah.
Happened on the bus. Everyone here and across the nation has seen what I've done. I'm here to apologize for what I did because this is something that I've learned is disgusting and should never happen.
Oh, the dude behind him just pats him on the shoulder, really sweet. And it's like he's reassuring him, or he's like, I'm going to kick the shit out of you later because this didn't go right.
Again, in any form. And this is something.
Levi, you've heard, what are you going to do to change this? You've talked about asking for forgiveness. You've talked about.
That guy's so pleased.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is.
In real terms, what is your plan?
Just in everyday, day-to-day life, if I ever see racism in any form, whether it's in a public or private setting, I believe I now have the courage and the meaning behind those words to stand up and refute that kind of behavior. And I'm looking forward to working with Senator Pittman and maybe even speaking. I don't.
You nailed it. This kid's going to have a job going around being a public speaker. You nailed it. He got a job because of this.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Got a job. Probably got a pretty well paying job.
Yeah, he's going to be fine. He's going to go around to colleges, to different fraternities once a month or whatever. And he's just going to travel the country and be like, listen, guys, I know you want to say it, but apparently they don't want to hear it. And by they, I mean the blacks.
And then everybody sitting there is going to be like, yeah, we know that.
Yeah,
dude.
We got it, buddy. Yeah, just try not to get filmed next time. Yeah, you blew it for all
of us. Yeah, like you're an idiot.
Yeah.
We all knew this.
Stunning.
Know what else that holds, but I'm really looking forward for the opportunity if it ever arises.
Wait for it.
I'm done. Thank you, guys.
And then off little Levi Pettit goes to
his next
his
public
future.
Speaking.
Yeah. So I loved that video. That was fun to watch, right?
Yes, that was amazing.
The apology shit, like we did with the Juliana Rancic thing, it's like, that is not fucking necessary. We get it. Of course you're sorry now. Of course you're going to apologize because your life is ruined.
Shot.
Yeah.
Maybe, but not for this kid.
No, no, of course, right. But yeah, but like, until he does this.
You know what? I actually I hope he doesn't get any. I mean, obviously, everybody hopes he's not going to get any gigs from this and that he has to go live like a normal life and he has to be that kid in a job interview when they're like, oh, I recognize this name. Where do I know you from?
No. Yeah, or he's going to do that and they're going to be like, wink, wink, like, it's cool, buddy. Like, we gotcha. Because that's the nature of why you would be involved in a fraternity to begin with, or be involved in some kind of like
group.
No, but
I mean, when this kid's going to get a job, like hopefully the HR person is decent enough to when they go to do their research on this kid that they Google his name or whatever, and the first thing that comes up or the first 100 things that come up are all these different articles about how the kid's, you know, did what he did.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. Unless the guy that reaches out to him or alumni goes and finds him from the frat, and they're like, we'll help you out. Like, it's too bad that happened to you.
Yeah.
FYI, we're the ones that created that song. You like it, right? It's catchy. Yeah. But no, you know what I mean? Like, that's a possibility. So this was fun. I was really glad Evan texted me yesterday. He's like, hey, did you see that the SAE kid's going to apologize at 5? Yeah. And I was like, no, but I love you. Thank you. That's going on the show tomorrow
for sure.
That was
a great find. Thank you.
Yeah, it's terrific. I like when we do that. I like the little longer form clips we got. We can kind of get into them. So hopefully some other dummies will say some stupid shit and we can talk about them.
I mean, that's what our show's made up of. So I'm sure it'll happen again.
Just keep it coming, buddy. Between the Republican primaries and racism in America, this show's set for decades.
Yeah. Well, and just, the fact that we have the election coming up, it's like SNL over here. We're going to be good for a while.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was thinking, actually, I don't know how possible it would be, but maybe when they start doing the debates, maybe we come in here, we do a live, we'll do commentary on the debates. That might be kind of fun.
That'd be sure.
A couple of them. Yeah, that could be really great. All right. Anyway, so this was a good show. I was excited. I think it met my expectations, so I'm really happy about it.
I thought it was great.
Joey,
was
awesome. You felt good about it? Okay.
Yes, I did.
Everyone that is listening, we love you. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate that people are subscribing on SoundCloud. I ask you to do it. Humbly and sweetly, and you obliged my request to subscribe. Please do that again. Continue to subscribe on SoundCloud.
Yep.
We love the comments that we get on there. Share it. You guys can repost it on SoundCloud if you have an account. Throw it on Facebook. See if some of your friends are interested. If they want to argue with you about it, if they want to argue with us, they can email us at mandatorysampson@gmail.com.
Yep.
You can, today we didn't live stream because, again, Time Warner Cable is a bag of.
But. What did we see today?
We saw a little comeuppance for Time Warner Cable. The Time Warner truck pulled up, I think, when you were standing outside.
Yeah, I was. Me and Joe Harari were outside having a cigarette today. The Time Warner Cable truck pulls up. And meanwhile, the internet's been out all day. We had a couple big shows that we had to do. We couldn't live stream those either. And so we're outside having a cigarette. The Time Warner Cable car pulls up. Joe says, hey, our internet's down on the whole block. The guy laughs, and that the Time Warner Cable employee laughs, and then walks into the building next to ours, I'm guessing, because it's a residential building, they'll go help them first. 2 seconds later, a cop pulls up and starts writing a ticket to the Time Warner Cable truck. So that we were happy about. John Fattigate, our guy here, is in Mexico. I sent him that picture. He just got back to me. He's in Mexico safely, and he was delighted to see
that. He's very happy, yes. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, fuck you, Time Warner.
Yeah, fuck
Verizon me. Fios, anybody out there, if you're listening, God. Hook us up. Set us up. We need better, stable internet here. It's
we do.
Ridiculous.
Please help us.
But anyway, so the long way to get around to it. We didn't live stream today, but full episodes will be up on dailymotion.com/standupnewyorklabs. Just search for the Mandatory Samson podcast. You can find it. Subscribe to Stand Up New York Labs, and you can find the live link, the live stream link in there. And typically we'll be recording at 4 o'clock on Thursdays.
Yep.
You guys can check that out. Also, you can find us on Twitter, and I love the followers I get on Twitter. I really do enjoy it. It's great.
It's been great.
It's at @mansamp if you would like to talk to this guy. If you want to talk to this guy over here, what's your Twitter, Joey?
Joey from Josie with a Z.
Okay.
Can you say mine for me?
Yeah. The beauty sitting across from me, you can get in touch with him. It's at @A_Lozzi, L-O-Z-Z-I. I need to get a Z in my Twitter name.
Yeah.
You could do it.
Man Samp.
You can also Snapchat me at Man Samp. I love it. I look at people's, their Snapchat stories. I don't really Snapchat, but I like looking at everybody else's life, see what everybody's up to. So that's really fun. That's at Man Sam Joe. You're on Snapchat.
Yes.
No? Okay.
Jerry from Jersey with the Z.
Very good. Once again, soundcloud.com/mandatorySamson. Subscribe, listen to all the other episodes. Oh my God. Do we have a song at the end of this episode?
Yes.
Okay. So stick around for that. Andy's going to pick it. I don't know how we're going to get it on here because we can't download it, but we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Don't
it has
you worry.
To be, what does it have to be from?
To Pimp a Butterfly? Is that what we're going to talk? Yeah. Can I just say that? I know
just,
it's like.
I got to go downstairs, but yeah, just talk. Just say it quick.
Extremely cliche. To Pimp a Butterfly is fucking terrific. The new Kendrick Lamar album.
Yeah.
Excellent. One of the. It's an instant classic. You guys need to listen to Pimp a Butterfly.
I was afraid to play it because I thought my laptop was just going to catch on fire the second the music started.
Absolutely.
Out of it.
Like, yes.
Crazy.
Really great. And. Yeah, we'll pick a song from that.
Yep.
It almost does it. Doesn't do it. It doesn't do it justice.
No,
unless you listen to the album
straight
through.
I wish we could just play the whole album at the end of the show.
But we'll give you a little taste of that album.
Yep.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. We love doing the show. We're going to continue doing the show. We love the support. Please continue to support us because it's a symbiotic relationship. We will talk to all of you next Thursday.
Nobody, but the number one rapper in the world. He done traveled all over the world. He came back just to give you some game. All over the morning. Come on in.
One, two, one, two. What's happening, fool?
Come on up.
I done been through a whole lot. Tried tribulation, but I know God. The devil wanna put me in a bow tie. Pray that the holy water don't go dry. Yeah, yeah. As I look around me, so many motherfuckers wanna down me. But enemy gon' never drown me. In front of a dirty double mirror, they found me. And I love myself. Huh, I want you looking at me. Tell me what you see.
I love myself.
I put a bullet in the back of the head of the police.
I love myself.
Illuminated by the hand of God. Boy, don't seem shy.
I love myself.
One day at a time. They wanna say it's a war outside. Bomb in the street, gun in the hood, mob of police. Black on the corner with a line full of fiend and a bottle full of lean and a mother wanna scheme. These days of frustration keep come to the front. Yeah, I duck these cold faces. Post up, feed, fight for basis. Dreams are reality's peace. Blow steam in the face of the beast. Sky can fall down, we can cry now. Look at me, motherfucker, I smile. I love
myself.
And when you're looking at me, tell me what do you see?
I love myself.
I put a bullet in the back of the head of the police.
I love myself.
Illuminated. All y'all come to the front. Y'all come up to the front. Baby girl, you come on.
Crazy, what you gonna do?
Lift up your head and
keep moving.
Turn the mic up.
Punch it.
The fashion police, I wear my heart on my sleeve, let the runway start. You know the miserable dealer company. What do you want from me and my scars? Everybody lack confident, everybody lack confident. How many times my potential was anonymous? How many times the city making me promises? So I promise this nigga
I love myself.
I want you looking at me. Tell me what do you see.
I love myself.
I put a bullet in the back of the head of the police.
I love myself.
Illuminated by the hand of God. Boy, don't seem shy.
I love myself.
I went to war last night with a automatic weapon. Don't nobody call a medic. I'ma do it till I get it right. I went to war last night. I've been dealing with depression ever since an adolescent. I can never hear the blessing. I can never see the message. I can never take the lead. I can never bob and weave from a negative and letting them annihilate me. And it's seven and I'm moving at a million speed. From the running to a building in my body.
Kill the music, not on my time. We can say this shit for the streets. We can say this shit is for the kids, bro. 2015, niggas tired of playing victim, dog. Niggas ain't trying to play victim. Tutu, how many niggas we done lost? How many, how many we lost? No, for real, answer the question. How many niggas we done lost, bro? This year alone. Exactly, so we ain't got time to waste time, my nigga. Niggas gotta make time, bro. The judge make time. You know that. The judge make time, right? The judge make time so it ain't shit. It shouldn't be shit for us to come out here and appreciate the little bit of life we got left, dog. On the dead homies, Charlie P, you know that, bro. You know that. Right, it's Mando. Right, it's Mando. Now, I say this because I love niggas, man. I love all my niggas, bro. Exactly. Enough said. Enough said. We're going to get back to the show and move on because that shit petty, my nigga. Mic check, mic check, mic check, mic check, mic check. We're going to do some acapella shit before we get back to our... All my niggas, listen to this. I promised Dave I never used the phrase fuck nigga. He said, think about what you saying. Fuck niggas. No better than Samuel on the Django. No better than a white man with slave boats. Sound like I needed some soul searching. My pops gave me some game in real person. Retraced my steps on what they never taught me. Did my homework fast before government caught me. So I'ma dedicate this one verse to Oprah on how the infamous, sensitive N-word control us. So many artists gave her an explanation to hold us. Well, this is my explanation, straight from Ethiopia. N-E-G-U-S. Definition, royalty. King, royalty. Wait, listen. N-E-G-U-S. Description, black emperor, king ruler. Now let me finish. The history books overlooked the word and hide it. America tried to make it to a house divided. The homies don't recognize we've been using it wrong. So I'ma break it down and put my game in a song. N-E-G-U-S, say it with me, or say no more. Black stars can come and get me. Take it from Oprah Winfrey, tell her she right on time. Kendrick Lamar, by far, realest niggas alive.